I'm Rob Ferret, and for Joy Cardine, it's 7:36 on Labor Day morning, Monday, September 3rd. The State Capitol Report continues now with a look at merit pay for teachers. Some schools in the Milwaukee and Eau Claire areas are trying out performance-based pay, and a lot of people are watching those experiments, including school administrators, teachers' unions, and lawmakers. And our guest this hour is watching, too. Alan Borsick is an Education Beat columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He joins us by phone. Alan Borsick, thanks for joining us on the State Capitol Report.
Morning. Glad to be here.
Well, first of all, tell us what kind of merit pay proposals schools are trying out this year.
Well, you mentioned a couple places, and I think they're going to be very few. They're going to be fairly isolated at this point because there's strong reason to wait, and almost all school districts will. So what you're going to see is kind of feeling your way a little bit by a few districts, some additional pay for based on getting high performance reviews from their superiors, and some experiment a little bit with using student performance data, but the real wave is coming. Now, that said, it is coming. It's not it's not something that people are going to avoid, or school districts or teachers, but it's going to come in probably 2 years from now.
Now, this is something that's been debated around the country really for quite a while. Why is it happening now? Is Act 10 part of what opened things up for schools?
That's a tough question, actually. I suppose the simple answer would be yes, but it's broader than Act 10 because it's nationwide. You could point a bigger finger to the Race to the Top initiative in 2009 by the U.S. Department of Education than to Act 10. In Wisconsin, Act 10 opens the way because it took away virtually all the power the teachers' unions had. Nationwide, though, let's put it this way. There's a general consensus that more needs to be done to focus on teacher quality, how to help get better teachers and better teaching in the classrooms. It's not only a matter of who the people are, but helping the people who are teaching to do their work more effectively. So that's a nationwide thing, and you're seeing it happen. I don't know the number, but I bet in at least 40 out of the 50 states there's major teacher quality initiatives.
Looking around at how this works, the first part of any explanation I've seen starts something like this: it's complicated.
You're absolutely correct.
But what's the basic idea? If you can simplify and put it in a nutshell, how would merit pay for teachers look?
Well, I don't know the answer, but I don't think very many people do. When Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, was in Milwaukee at the start of the school year a year ago, he had a little mini press conference, and I asked him that then. I said, you know, everyone's trying teacher quality and teacher pay initiatives, but nobody seems to know quite what works. And he said, you're right, but 5 years from now we're going to know more. So that would be 4 years from now at this point, and I bet that's true. I mean, it's as simple as the fact that everyone who ever went to school, which is to say all of us, can tell you, yes, I had good teachers and I had bad teachers, and I learned more from the good teachers. So everyone knows there's good teachers and there's teachers who aren't so effective. But how do you really turn that into a system, and that a system that's fair, that's effective, that people are willing to subscribe to, is not so easy. What's emerging in most places, including Wisconsin, is one in which you need, number one, you need a hugely better teacher evaluation system, and the State Department of Public Instruction here has been leading an initiative on that pretty much everybody's at the table, Governor Walker's people, the teachers' unions. It's something everyone's working on, even relatively much together. So you need a much better teacher evaluation system, and then you need some way of turning that into effective action that encourages good teaching and discourages practices that aren't so good. The general rule is what's emerging in Wisconsin and a bunch of other places, that half the ratings will be pegged to how students are actually doing, performance, results, So student results will be half of it, and half it will be pegged to teacher performance, which is to say evaluations by superiors, by coaches, by mentors, perhaps even by students in some cases, of the actual work the teacher's doing, whether students are engaged, you know, qualitative and quantitative combined.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking to education reporter and analyst Alan Borsuk. And our topic today is the idea of merit pay for teachers. In a nutshell, trying to figure out who the best teachers are and paying them a little more. And I guess by extension, paying the teachers who aren't that good a little bit less. What do you think of that idea? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Interested to hear from people who work in schools, teachers, administrators, people on the school board who might be trying this idea now or looking at it as an option for the future. Of course, everybody matters in Wisconsin. You have an opinion on what's going on, how state policy, federal policy works out. 800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. Alan, you mentioned we're just seeing some baby steps here in Wisconsin. You thought we'd see a flood of merit pay, performance-based pay things coming into effect in about 2 years. Why then?
Well, the No Child Left Behind system that goes back to 2002 nationwide, the federal law, that system is pretty much dying out because it just became so dysfunctional and ineffective. And it's being replaced pretty much on a state-by-state basis based on the U.S. Department of Education giving what they call waivers. So each state is proposing its own system for school accountability and teacher accountability. Wisconsin got its waiver approved. What is this? This is the start of September. I think it was the very beginning of July. And that waiver includes a major overhaul of an awful lot of the stuff that's done in terms of school quality. One of the interesting things that's coming is brand new report cards for every school that parents and anyone in the community will be able to see that has way more detail about how a school is doing. Those are going to be coming out even in the next few months. There's lots of other changes, but part of that is this teacher effectiveness initiative. And the DPI, working with, like I said, just about everybody in the state, is creating new systems. And that's their goal, for teacher evaluation systems to be on the ground by 2 years from now. There'll be some, you know, some districts doing kind of trials a little bit this year, quite a bit a year from now, but by 2 years from now, the waiver system will be much more fully implemented.
And that waiver thing and No Child Left Behind, I mean, merit pay is just a small part of the picture in some ways. We seem to have this big back and forth. Here's this new federal thing that states have to go along with. Okay, now you can have some waivers, and there's more of a wave of experimentation. Can we ever settle on a school policy in this country?
I don't know the answer to that. Education in general is so subject to the fad of the moment, and this year's trend, which turns out to be next year's dead trend. You know, I think if you talk to a lot of veteran teachers, their feeling is, I've seen this come, I've seen this go 1,000 times. So I don't know. But that said, I think everyone's in favor of quality education for kids. I mean, who's not? But and there are certain principles to that that everyone also agrees on, that there are ways to teach kids that are more effective. You know, you can walk into certain classrooms and see teachers and say, man, this person really knows what they're doing. This is just so cool. So there are practices that are everyone agrees should be encouraged. You know, you want kids more engaged. In today's world, you want to see use of up-to-date techniques in terms of taking advantage of technology, which I think is a big wave that's also coming, is a new sense of how to use technology in classrooms. So, there are certain principles that always continue, but there are so many things that are fads and trends.
That's Alan Borsuk. He's a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He Writes an education column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering education in Wisconsin for a good long time now. We are talking about merit pay for teachers, performance-based pay. Can we measure what teachers do and reward the ones who do it well? What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 800-642-1234. You can send an email, talk@WPR.org, or post your thoughts on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll turn to your calls coming up soon. We'll take a quick look at the weather, though. Today, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s around the state. Tonight, partly cloudy, showers and storms possible, lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the low to mid 80s. Around the state, Madison 63 degrees, Milwaukee 71, La Crosse 72, Superior 65, Wausau 64, and in Green Bay 67 degrees. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 8, the state of workers and labor unions in Wisconsin and around the country. I'll talk to the head of the state AFL-CIO, Phil Neuenfeld. This hour, another labor-related issue. We're talking about the idea of merit pay for teachers. A few districts around the state are experimenting with some kind of performance-based pay, trying to figure out who the best teachers are and pay them a little more. And Alan Borsuk, my guest this hour, says we will see a lot more schools doing this in about 2 years. So everybody's watching these first baby steps really closely. We'll get to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Eric will start us off in Madison. Hi, Eric.
Hi, good morning. I'm one of the many teachers who quit early. I'm 61 years old, graduated from the University of Wisconsin School of Education in 1977. Lasted a very short time. And the reason is from the time that I went to school, which was closer to the Japanese system where you could have 50 or 60 kids in a room and you could hear a pin drop, I entered a classroom that was totally chaotic as a teacher, and kids were climbing the walls. One school across town, and this is true in Madison, had kids getting out of minivans with their little lunch boxes full of fruits and vegetables and all the good things you'd want your kid to have for lunch. On the other side of town, there was a school that had busloads, plural, children who came from shelters, places where they didn't know where they were going to get their next meal, and a chaotic life, to say the least, sleeping in station wagons and so on. This was an impossible, chaotic situation. It still exists. I've been in the schools when my kids were in school, so I know it's still there. To the notion of evaluating teachers on some sort of standardized system is downright ridiculous. It's a silly notion.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Eric. So Alan Borsuk, the gist there. Not all classrooms are equal. Not all groups of kids are the same. How can you have a one-size-fits-all approach to evaluating how teachers do?
Well, let's assume the best answer is you don't. You don't have a one-size-fits-all because the caller is absolutely correct that not all kids are created alike. Not all kids are given the same atmosphere that sets them up to come to school, and not all parents are allies of their kids' education the same way that those kids getting out of the minivans with the lunchbox that he mentioned. And that's unfortunate, but it's absolutely true. So you need a system if it's going to work. I should add that I'm kind of agnostic as to whether this is all going to work because the human angle is so much a part of it. But you need a system in which it isn't simply does everybody reach the same bar, but there's a great deal of work being done, much of it being done out of at UW-Madison called the Value Added Research Center, on how to use data in ways that you can talk about how much progress kids are making and not simply are they all making the same progress. So those kids who are coming from low income and homes where there's no strong educational environment, they might make a year and a half progress in a year, even if they're behind other kids. And that might be very good. Those teachers should be praised for the fast progress their students are making. But you have to keep in mind where they're coming from. Now, the classroom that's entirely out of control, on the one hand, you say, the teacher didn't create these kids. The teacher didn't create this problem. But there are teachers who are better at bringing some order and a decent environment out of that than others. And there are systems that are better. It isn't all the teachers doing. Special education evaluations that are effective, integration of kids with special needs into the classroom in effective ways. There's 100 questions to raise here. Effective teachers need to have effective classroom management techniques, and sometimes that's extremely challenging, especially if you have, say, a lot of students who have major attention problems, whatever it might be. So the caller is right, but that doesn't mean you can't, in an ideal world, and I emphasize that it is an ideal, find systems that are fair and have good integrity to them in deciding whether the teacher's doing a good job.
Thanks for the call, Eric. We'll go to Joel in La Crosse now. Hi there, Joel.
Hi. I'd like to at least support Eric's idea that all of the schools are different in the way that every student brings a different situation to the classroom. However, I believe that adding merit pay is really important to remind teachers that, you know, it is a job, and it's a job that should be based on performance. Yes, we all bring a common experience because we've all been in high school, we've all been through grade school, and, you know, I remember good teachers, I remember bad teachers. But reminding them that it is, in fact, a job, you know, as dull and ordinary as that sounds. I mean, whether you're running a drill press and punching holes in steel all day, if you don't do it right, you lose your job. And I think that's important, especially when we're talking about kids. But can all situations be judged the same way? No. But I think that the person in charge of the school sure knows who's doing a good job. I think they ought to be in some way empowered to reward those teachers that are really making an effort. I also think that the schools that have those difficult situations should be allotted more resources, and the schools that are doing really well should have some of their resources taken away.
I'm going to jump in there, Joel, because I want to get another caller or two in before we're done, but Alan Borsek, a response to Joel's thoughts in favor of merit pay.
Well, I'd say two things. I don't think there's anyone, I just want to make it clear, I don't think there's anyone at this point, at least not anyone who's a responsible participant in this, who thinks you can measure teachers' performance just by a test score, just by what the grade is. You know, students are not, and teachers are not turning out widgets and punching holes, and you count how many holes they punched. So it needs to be a system that has a lot more subtlety to it than that. Second, the caller uses the phrase, you know, I think a principal knows who their good teachers are. I think a good principal, you know, so much of this is human capacity and competence. A good principal is someone I would really trust to make those judgments. A good principal knows what's going on in the classrooms, knows the ins and outs of the staff and so on, and really is very effective at getting a handle on people. The problem is, frankly, not all principals or superintendents or whoever would be doing the teacher evaluations are created equal, that there's some who just aren't very good at it.
Well, Catherine, I'm going to jump in. Catherine in Madison has a related point, I think. Catherine, hi.
Hi. Well, you know, on the surface, this sounds great. But, you know, this is just another stepping stone that came out of the ALEC reform toolkit leading to charter schools. I mean, with teachers having no collective bargaining, this is going to open the door to cronyism. It's going to open the door to lowering the pay. People are not listening to the education experts in the universities across the nation who are saying things like this don't work. No Child Left Behind didn't work, and that was putting kids, as you said, widgets and punching out, looking to be the same, you know, and punching out the same holes. I mean,
Alan Borsek, your response. First of all, this opens, she says, the door to cronyism in schools.
in the wrong situation, I'm sure that's true, because, you know, I've talked to teachers, everyone's talked to teachers who say, you know, I got on the wrong side of the principal because I was doing the right thing, and the principal was wrong. Well, sometimes the people giving anecdotes like that are wrong, but sometimes they're right. So, yes, I could put you in touch with people who'd be glad to tell you about cronyism, and I believe them. So that can be a problem. You got to, you know, the goal of creating a system that's kind of fair and, you know, it has a very strong human element, but it's also human-proof, is that's one of the hugest challenges here. I don't know whether it can be done.
And then she's also worried that the end result here is going to be net lower pay for teachers.
That is it's a really good question. I don't know. In a nutshell, there was a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday about eliminating the pay bump for teachers getting masters. And a huge portion of the teacher pay in Wisconsin is based on educational achievement by the teachers. That is gone under Act 10. One of the effects of that is to free up a big part of the teacher pay pool. Will it be used to just reduce teacher pay, or will it be used to create systems in which teachers are given pay based on a different basis? That's going to be really important to watch in the next few years. I wouldn't say she's flat wrong, but I kind of hope she's wrong, because I don't want to see teachers treated badly.
Well, Alan Borsuk, this issue and many others will have a lot to talk about, and you'll have a lot to write about on education in the coming months and years.
I certainly agree with that.
Thanks a lot for joining us this Labor Day morning.
Glad to be here.
That was Alan Borsuk. He covers education for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, writes a column there, and he's a senior fellow in law and public policy at the Marquette University Law School. We talk to him pretty often when it comes to these education issues. Coming up, our annual Labor Day look at the state of labor in Wisconsin and around the world with the head of the state AFL-CIO. I'm Rob Farradin for Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.